everyone. Welcome back to Adultish. And today's episode is going to be a little bit different. And I hope that you guys, before we even get started, I hope that you guys will really listen and learn. And some of you, I hope that you get as much information as you can get out of it, because this is a very important subject. This is not a subject or, you know, an experience to take lightly. So with that being said, I have the privilege and the honor to talk to one of my big sisters and mentors, Carrie Reeves.
Hi, Cecilia.
Oh my goodness.
Hi,
oh my
sis.
Goodness. Oh my goodness. How are you?
I am good. It's good to be here with you. How are you?
Yay. I'm good. You know, every day I'm taking it day by day.
Amen. One moment at a time.
Taking it day by day. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're gonna be talking about a very important subject and a different topic that I feel like sometimes we've neglected, especially when it comes to the church world. I think a lot of times this subject is neglected, mm-hmm. and it's not really being talked about. We're talking about young, like being married young and mm-hmm. getting also divorced at a young age. Yeah. And so I want to first thank you before I even like go into my questions, but I just want to thank you for being someone that not only represents what this subject is about, but also being like a pillar of strength to those that may be in the same boat and they feel like they don't know what to do. So thank you for just agreeing to do this and sharing your experience.
You're welcome. I mean, it's not an easy thing to talk about for anyone, mm-hmm. but I've learned that through sharing my experiences, it's helped others. So Right. Here we go.
Right. Yes. Okay, guys. I told you this one is going to be a little deep. So I first wanted to ask, like, at what age did you get married?
Well, I got married in 2003. So I was 22, about to be 23. Yeah,
wow.
I turned 23 a month after I got married.
That is young.
Very young.
That is young. And I mean, I know that there are people that get married at 20, mm-hmm. 21. And I know that there are people, but when you really like say it out loud and it's just like, and you look back, it's like, even for mm-hmm. me, I'm 27 now. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, I couldn't. Marriage?
Yeah.
Not me. I'm like, I knew at that age that my 23 for me, it was literally maybe 18 or something. Like, because I was just not, I wasn't at the point to even think like a mm-hmm. wife yet, you know? So that is a young age. I would ask you, did you feel pressured about getting married at that young of an age?
No, I didn't feel pressured because, you know, looking mm-hmm. back, I'd say I did love him. And I think mm-hmm. that we both loved each other well then.
Yeah.
So it felt like
that's
the next thing to do. So, mm-hmm. or it just felt like it was the next progression in our relationship because, you know, being together for a while, and yeah, there was some on and off periods, but being, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend mm-hmm. for a while, it just felt like that was the next thing. So when he asked, the answer was yes, and let's go.
Right. Yeah. It just made mm-hmm. sense. It just made sense. That's awesome. I mean, I do feel like, because I think sometimes like a lot of, I would say seasoned women would say like to like, you know, I think younger women now, it's like, listen, if I knew what I knew, what I know now, I would like they would tell me, a lot of them would tell me, like, girl, live your life, take your time. You have the rest of your life to be married. It's no rush. Just relax and calm down.
And I say that to quite a number of people now, but I think I had to go through it first.
You have told me.
Yes. And I told you that too. But I had to go through it to understand, like, yeah, you don't need to rush it. If it's supposed to happen, it will happen in its own time. Yeah. So I think when people who have been through this say it to you, I mean, listen. Yeah, just listen. Yeah. We know what we're talking about. And it's never coming, well, for me, it's never coming from a place of bitterness. Mm-hmm. It's just through this experience of knowing you have time. So take that time.
Yeah. Right. Right. Exactly. And so, you know, my single girls that's out here, I'm in the struggle with y'all too. But listen, listen to what Carrie just said. Okay. Like, take your time. It's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. But with that being said, I would ask, what were some signals that let you know your marriage was in trouble?
Okay. Well, most people who know me know the story, and I know you know the story. So I'll say a little bit of what the story is. Right. I was physically abused. And I mean, putting a little disclaimer out there, we get along for the most part now. We co-parent, we're fine, we're happy to be married to other people now. But history is messy. And I know that we're talking about my experiences of the past so that others can understand, right? So the signals from me that told me that we were in trouble and the marriage was basically in trouble was the abuse kept on happening. Granted, it wasn't like an everyday thing, but it was a yearly thing. And it happening once too often, I mean, once is enough. I mean, marriage isn't pretty and you're learning and growing together, but no one has the right to put their hands on anybody, male or female. No one has the right to put their hands on anyone. So that was the indicator for me that it's heading in a direction that I don't know if we can come back from. So,
So those were basically some of the red flags or signals that led you into making the decision to go forward with getting a divorce.
Because it's not some, no one I know wants their marriage to end. When, no matter how early I got married, I was in it for the long run. Like, I thought this was it. Right. I never went in with the intention of, let me test this out. I mean, that's a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. Now this is my husband.
Right.
So it's not a, let me test this out and see how this works. It's, you know, I'm committed to you for life. But when things like this happen, I mean, I never saw a divorce in my future, but I knew I had to get out because I can't stay in this. Plus, I was raising boys. I'm not going to raise boys to think that this is okay if it continued to happen. But I didn't want to take that chance. So it was time to go.
Wow. Wow. That's heavy. And I, again, I thank you for even sharing that part of it. Because divorce alone, like even making that decision or even thinking about it, that's scary, but going through what you went through, like that's also a whole just, you know, thing in its own.
It's hard. That on top of divorce is hard. Abuse is not easy. And it's something that you said, divorce is something we don't talk about in the church. Abuse is something we don't talk about in the church. So that coupled along with the divorce was just, it was messy. But I had to make that decision. I can either stay and hope for the best and trusting God. I mean, that's why I was in it for a few years because I was trusting God. So I'm not saying I stopped trusting God, but I was just, this is, I can't live like this anymore.
Right. Wow. And also, so after all, after you making that decision and coming to that decision, tell us, how was your mental health at this time?
Making the decision or after? Because I was a hot mess for both.
Well, well, I guess coming mm-hmm. to the decision of saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk away. And I'm not going to walk away because I feel like mm-hmm. I want to. I'm walking away because it's your life, you know? Your life is depending on it as well. And you just said you had two mm-hmm. boys that you were raising, impressionable young boys. So how was your mental health at that point?
Well, leading up to the decision, my mental health was, mm-hmm. I'm going to say unstable, because I was sad. I was down because I kept on asking, like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to us?
Yeah.
And I always said, every time an incident happened, I always say, all right, if it happens again, I'm out. And I would leave for a little bit, then come back. But then I remember the time before the last time I said, I said to myself, like, this is it. And I mm-hmm. stuck with that because the last time was the worst. I'll just leave it at that. Mm. And when I did leave, it was hard because I believe that kids need both their parents in their lives. No matter what's going on, children mm-hmm. need both mom and dad. And that part was hard for me. But I also said I wasn't going to stay because of the kids, because I want to be around to raise my kids. I want to be healthy, mentally healthy to raise my kids. So when mm-hmm. I left, even at that point too, I was very sad, very down. I thought everything was wrong with me. I remember at one time, because I went back and I moved back in with my parents, with the boys. I'd put the boys to bed and they'd wake up the next morning. I'd still be awake. So insomnia kicked in, and just the self-doubt, the thoughts in my head, like, I'm not good enough. I'm ugly. What's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Just anger, hurt, just the pain was something that you can't properly put into words, but it hurt beyond mm-hmm. anything that you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That is rough.
Because, like I said before, Bithy, it's like you don't want your marriage to end. I don't want anyone's marriage mm-hmm. to end. And for that to happen, it hurts because you felt as if you failed. I felt as if I failed.
Yeah.
And that's a hard feeling to have as a woman and someone who is just... you know, a go-getter. When you set out to do something, I wanted mm-hmm. to do my best with it, and I failed at that, and it put me in a bad place. I went from a size 8 to a size 4.
Wow.
That's stress,
man. The stress.
I mean, I'd love that now, but not with the stress.
Right, because it's weird, because it's like stress weight is like, whoa, what are you doing? You know, and the thing is, it's like, you mm-hmm. don't mean to lose the weight. You're not trying, but it's just like, it's so much that you're not eating, you're not sleeping, you're not taking care of yourself.
And I still had to go to work, and I still had to be mommy.
Yeah.
I still had to teach my students and just somehow muster up the energy to, I'm going to say, perform. Do my job. I mean, the only thing that wasn't a performance was being mommy to my boys. That's the thing that came naturally to me, because I knew they missed being home with mommy and daddy because they love their dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew them having to go through that, because they're processing it differently. They're kids. They don't understand. They're not understanding the story. They just know that mommy and daddy aren't living together anymore. So I had to be mommy mm-hmm. to help my boys to cope as best as I knew how to. So I messaged you up there.
Man, oh my gosh. Like, I kind of want to pause right here. And I'm just like, anybody that is going through anything like that, whether it be physical or even mm-hmm. mental or like verbal, it's not something to mm-hmm. ignore. This is not something to take lightly. It's very real, and it's very real situations. And you have to make that choice for yourself. You can't even think about what others would think or would say. So I would even say, like, you know, put yourself first.
Please, please do, because first. We get so caught up with thinking about what other people will think, because that was me for a while, which made me stay. But then when you stop worrying about other people and you start thinking about yourself, then you start making some different decisions. Like, you know, we're quick to say, well, if that was me, I would have done this. You don't know until you have walked in somebody else's shoes. Oh, yes. So what I want to also tell your listeners is that if they know someone going through anything at all, whether it's dealing with abuse or going through a divorce, just be a supportive listener. You can't tell people when it's time to leave or make certain choices. Mm-hmm. Just be there and be a good listener. Because through that time, let me speak to the divorce time. Some people who I thought were friends turned out not to be friends. So that was a helpful thing too, to help me shed the dead weight that I was bringing around in terms of people. So find someone who is supportive, who will listen. And that that will help you along the journey. And for those who are being that support, don't judge. Do not be quick to judge, because you don't know until you have, and I pray you never have to walk in any of these shoes.
Right.
Don't judge until you have walked in those shoes.
That is so true. That is so true. And that was you spoke on along the lines of what I was going to ask you next is, did you feel as though you were ashamed that you had to get a divorce in the church? Oh, yeah, especially?
Because I was born and raised in church, and you're taught that when you get married, that's it. And you know what? Biblically, when you get married, that's it. You're locked in. But they make you feel embarrassed and ashamed for making choices that they don't agree with, biblical or not. Because some of the things that are said to you are not biblical. They're rules to keep people in line, which, all right, I understand. Every man has his house or woman. And you have your rules to keep people in line. But at the same time, don't make me feel ashamed for doing something that I needed to do to save my life.
Mm-hmm.
So was I ashamed? Yes. Did they make me feel ashamed as well? Yes. But I eventually got over it. It doesn't, the shame doesn't last forever.
Yeah. That's actually, you know, a good thing to hear, because I think sometimes, you know, especially when you're like young, like really young, and you're in the situation, or maybe you're out of the situation, but you still have shame in that, you know, pain that lingers after that relationship. And it's just like, to hear someone that has been through it and that's now on the other side tell us that, okay, hey, the shame doesn't last, you know, for forever. You get over that leaves, that fades after a while. So that's very powerful that you even said that, because I think that a lot of people, and I would even put myself in it, a lot of us needed to hear that, because that gives the hope, you know.
And another thing too, a lot of the shame and the embarrassment that we feel about certain things, that's other people's problems. Like, we feel embarrassed because of how other people are going to view us. When you stop and you take into account that's their problem, not mine. I'm doing this to help me. I'm doing this to better me and my family. So if you want to have a problem about it, then that's your business. I'm not going to feel bad for making the choices that I made. But that's coming from, I'm going to say, a level of maturity, because when we're younger, you're so caught up. And I mean, even some older people too. So it's not even an age thing when you're less mature.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a mindset. Yeah.
You get so caught up in what other people are thinking or saying that you will rather sit in what you're dealing with than either leave or get help for it. Because we never did counseling. We never, did we? I don't even know. I don't remember us doing counseling or, therapy for anything. Even when, I mean, outside of the abuse, even with regular marital things, communication or, I don't know, finances, just anything that can cause disruptions in marriages. Like, we just kind of figured it out. I don't even know if we did figure it out. We just kind of went through it. But being now, like you said, on the other side, marriage is still hard. Like, I was blessed to be married a second time, and I love my husband, and I do tell him he drives me crazy, but I love him. Right? But the thing is, even though it's hard, we're still willing to work at it. There is nothing wrong with going to counseling or going to therapy, and I have done it. And I'm still doing it, not because there's something wrong with, because, you know, people think you go to counseling, there's something wrong with you, like you're crazy.
Right.
No, honey, we go to counseling because we want to be better. We want to be stronger. We want to make this work. So there's nothing wrong with that. And I had to even do that for myself, like the healing process. Am I running ahead of your questions?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're even talking about it, because that was, of course, a question that I basically was asking is your healing. What did your healing process look like? But I'm glad that you're getting into it, though.
My healing process, healing process was messy because I made lots of mistakes. Because, girl, your headspace, my headspace in that moment was like, oh my God, I did this the right way. I stuck through this. And I mean, we're not perfect. And looking back, I can see. Yeah. And like I said, I'm stepping outside of the abuse. I can see parts where I could have learned to be a better wife in certain areas. Like, let's say in terms of showing gratitude. There's one time I remember, and it's funny, it's preparing for this that made me remember this. I think I needed a computer, but it's something around a computer, and he got me a computer, and I don't remember saying thank you, but what I do remember is whenever that computer would act up, I would carry on in that house. Like, I would argue and I'd be fussing. I'm like, thinking about this now as the 40, almost 41 year old Carrie, I'm like, girl, well,
it
thank
doesn't
you.
Look good, no. It doesn't
and
look
four
good.
Kids later, right?
Man,
but with the computer, I'm like, girl, you could have just said thank you. So it's me looking back, like, there are things that I could have done differently. Would it have made a difference? I don't know, but it's already happened. The other things that happened to lead us down the path of divorce, but in just being reflective, I can think of certain things that I'm like, well, you know what, you could have probably done this differently. You could have said this differently. But it's not taking the full ownership on myself. It's reflecting and just recognizing that I have flaws as well. Because nobody's perfect.
No.
But the healing process is messy. It comes with reflection. It comes with facing you.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
That's hard.
This is the thing that I feel like no one really talks about that much. Like, I feel like, yes, we hear about, oh, I went through this and I went through that. And, you know, listen, I'm on the other side. It's like, okay, yeah, it was difficult to get here, but, you know, I'm here now. And it's like, wait, but rewind back to the, it was difficult to get here part, because honestly, Even if people describe like how the healing process was and what was their mental state or whatever, I'm not saying that it's gonna like magically like heal us, but I think it would give us some insight to when you're going into a healing process, when you make up your mind that, okay, I need to heal. I really need to heal and not numb myself. Could you speak to that part of it? Because I feel like sometimes, and this is even for me, I have swept so many things underneath the rug. And it's like now in my life, a lot of decisions and a lot of the hurt that I swept under the rug, and I've spoken to a lot of other people, it's now starting to come up to the surface. Because
if you don't deal with it, it sits there and it festers. And I'm talking about what I know because I've been through that. That numbing, when you numb something, the pain eventually comes back. So you haven't dealt with it.
Yes.
The healing process, I was trying to numb things with anything that could numb it. Now the numbing things I'm talking about caused problems. They were not helping. But they would make me forget what I was trying to heal from. They'd make me forget just what I had just gone through, that things had ended and it was over. But I had to learn how to heal. And that meant dropping off certain things, not talking to certain people, not doing certain things, not going certain places. Mm. Because after a while, I was like, you know what, God, I'm so done. And I'm going to talk from, I'm not chastising anyone and I'm not judging anybody. But the way how I was raised, my ears were never pierced. You don't do tattoos. You don't do any of that. That's how I was raised. And I'm not judging anybody who is wearing jewelry or anything. I'm talking about caring.
Yeah.
So girl, I went, my ears were pierced and I did not care. I went and got them pierced. And then the next thing I was like, what else can I do? So I got a tattoo. And I'm like, what else can I do? I'm like, Lord Jesus, I can't do anything else. Like, seriously, that was the conversation in my head. Just what more can I do to numb the pain? And then the Lord Jesus, I can't do anything else. But at the same time, I wasn't really talking to God. I was done.
Wow.
Because I was hurt and I was angry.
Yeah.
And then when I reconnected, I'm going to say reconnected with God. It was on, when I say my terms, it wasn't because I had to reconnect or because the rules say you have to get up on a Sunday and go to church or whatever. It was because I wanted to. And then that helped me on my healing journey. And it was messy, but I was journaling and just being honest with myself. And in being honest with yourself, you're facing some demons that you don't want to deal with, like things from the past, things that you have put underneath the rug, never hoping to see again. You have to face all of that. And I had to, and it was hard. It was hard. But numbing it does not help. You have to get to a point. And how did I get to that point? I don't know. Oh, it just didn't feel right. The numbing things just didn't feel like Carrie. So although I had my ears pierced, I took out the earrings. I can't take off the tattoo, but it's there. So every time I see it, I remember what was happening at that time. And it's like, you know how your scars show you that you have been through something, but you survived? Sure. Mm-hmm. I see that, it reminds me you survived that time in life where you thought you would never make it. When I look back at certain things, I'm like, you survived that. The stigma of divorce, I survived that. Granted, people still make me try to feel bad all these years later. I don't care. If you want to sit there hung up on divorce, that's on you. I don't care anymore. Right. I have moved on. I'm good. My husband loves me for me.
Wow.
I'm good. Yes. And you know my husband. Yes. He loves me.
Yeah, you guys, like her husband, he loves her. And like I've seen it, like I've seen how they both love each other. And it's a powerful thing. And we're gonna get there. It leads me into my next question now. So tell the people, tell the children,
Oh boy.
when did you decide to give love another chance?
Yeah, love, not like love.
Oh, yes.
Because the liking part was a part of the messy healing part, but the love part was when I decided I didn't want to be in a relationship anymore. Meaning, you have a boyfriend here or there, or yeah, if whether the boyfriend is a person, a bottle, you just have, if you get what I mean by a bottle,
Hello. Exactly.
you have your boyfriends. So it was when I decided, you know what, I'm done. I'm gonna focus on me. And a lot of times we're quick to say, I'm gonna just focus on me, blah, blah, blah. But I meant it. It was just gonna be about focusing on Carrie. And when I did that, I, because my husband and I, we were friends, kind of. But not like friends, friends. Like I knew who he was. We were going to church, all that good stuff. But it was never anything with the maybe, no, the nah, no. Like there was none of that. But it was when I decided to just focus on me, then we really just became friends and just really started talking. And not talking with the intention to date or to even get married. It's just talking to each other. So we became friends first. And then because now, I was on the other side of 30. So, and I'm not saying age, maturity comes with age, but girl, I matured real quick through everything that I went through. So being on that other side of 30, knowing that if I'm seriously going to talk to someone, it's I have two boys. I don't have time to play house. I don't have time to play around. So it was, we already knew what we wanted. We knew things that were, and we call them deal breakers. We knew things that were going to be deal breakers. So don't waste my time. And this is when we realized how we felt about each other. So, when we realized things that were deal breakers and that we were good with who we were good with our past, and we knew what we wanted from life. I was like, all right. Maybe I can do this, meaning try love again, open up my heart to love, because it is scary to open your heart after being hurt, because you felt
Yes,
like
ma'am.
you gave the your heart, you put it out there already, and it got broken, it got hurt. So he made me feel safe.
Yeah,
And
that's important.
there were no red flags to say, he's gonna not keep his word. He's gonna treat you like what you went through before, because those fears are real. But he just made me feel so safe. And I'm not, our marriage isn't perfect, because like I said, marriage is hard and it takes work. But the safety that he brought, and just that he loved God more than he loved me. He still loves God more than how he loves me. And that, Bethia, meant everything to me. So.
That's so important. I think that's important, and I think sometimes, we kind of like say it as like a general thing, like, oh, you make sure that he loves God or she loves God, and it's like, nah, like I mean really love God, like to the point where it's like, God, if you tell me that he or she isn't for me, and yes, I do love her or I do love him, and that and you told me that they're not for me, I walk away. And
Facts.
that it's like that love God,
Yeah.
okay?
Well, that's what it is. And I mean, we work at this every day. I mean, it is not, like I said, it is not the perfect marriage, because there is no perfect marriage. But we love each other enough to work at it every day. So
That's amazing. Yep. Wow. This is just, and like, I think this is like not even a story, but this is like a testimony. It's just like it's one of the most powerful testimonies I think like I have heard, especially, you know, seeing you and growing up with you, like, you know, there in church and just seeing like how you guys came to be and everything. It's mm-hmm. Your story is like really powerful. Like, it's such a powerful testimony. But I would want to ask, now that you're in a healthy place, you're in a healthy state of mind, can you leave any like word of encouragement to let us know that there is life after divorce?
And I'm going to repeat that last thing that you said. There is life after divorce.
Yes.
As the police car goes by the house. Sorry. But yes, there is definitely life after divorce. Whether you remarry or you choose not to, you can be happy. Mm-hmm. Face who you are, not what the divorce has done to you. Just face who, deal with who you are. Deal with, and I'm going to say Bethia. Make Bethia a better person, because in making Bethia a better person, you heal and you become happier and healthier. Now, happy doesn't mean I'm laughing all the time.
Right.
Because sometimes I'm not, but I'm happy with who I am.
With who I am.
So be happy with who you are. Accept you for you, all your flaws, all your scars, your positives, everything. Love yourself. And when you feel that you are not at your best, work on being your best, not for other people. Because if you do this for other people, you will never be successful and you will never be happy.
Right.
So do this for you. Find joy in the little things, in the little moments. Find joy in them. And if people want to come in your space and be critical or cynical, learn to let them go.
Wow.
Just learn to let them go. Some people come into your life for a season and some people come in permanently.
Yeah.
The seasonal folk, you know when it's time to go. Just like how the trees know when it's time to shed those leaves. When the seasonal folk say it's time to go, just let them go. And just love yourself for you. I had to learn to love Carrie. And if I didn't love myself, I could not have opened up my heart for someone else to love me. And even if you never open up your heart to love again, meaning to be married again. Opening up yourself to loving yourself is a big thing. So you have to love and accept who you are. Be honest with yourself, because you are not always right and you are not perfect. And the sooner you own that, the better you will be. And I'm going to say something to my church sisters. Please trust God through the process. It is okay to be angry. It is okay to be hurt. Like, those are valid feelings. But don't sit in it, because it will consume you. And when you heal and you just trust God through the process and let him help you on your journey, it benefits your Christian life so much better. Like, your walk with God becomes so much more genuine. It's like not about my skirt got to be this length or my shirt. It becomes about your relationship with God, and you just feel so good. Like, even talking about it now, I just feel so good. Like, it's a real feeling, just a feeling of, I am worth it. I am worth more than what people are saying. Because in my first counselor, because I had two series of counselor, the first counselor had to help me through the process to heal. So the first counselor said, these are just people on your airplane. They're passengers. They get off. So don't worry about them, because they're not with you forever. Passengers leave. So don't worry about them. They are not going with you to your destination, like to where you're supposed to be.
Wow.
That has stuck with me for years.
Wow. I'm writing that.
They are passenger. Why are you worrying about the passengers? True. They are leaving to go to their own destination. Because, yeah, we all get to the same airport, but everybody hops in a car and goes to their own house. So why am I stressing about the other passengers?
Wow.
That was profound. So when I stopped worrying about people, I became better. But then now I needed a counselor to help me deal with being depressed and helping me to deal with just the healing part for me.
Yeah.
So, oh, my little nugget of wisdom to anybody else.
Yeah.
There is nothing wrong with therapy.
Yes.
I said that. I think I said that earlier, but there is nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I have faith and I trust in God, and mm-hmm. I am a firm believer in the healing power of God. But
mm-hmm.
do not get it twisted that just because you are a Christian and you have faith that there is something wrong with going to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Who created right. Who gave people the wisdom to help people understand their feelings and to have conversations to process?
Right.
God gave us all these gifts, right?
Exactly.
So you
exactly.
find a therapist that you can trust. Like I had to find one who understood my background in church and also culturally, someone who understood where I was coming from,
mm-hmm.
who wasn't afraid to tell me the things I didn't want to hear, but it was things that were going to help me.
Wow.
So there's nothing wrong with talking to someone. I wow. still talk to someone.
Yeah. yeah. That is amazing. And I'm glad that, you know, because I have someone that is coming on mm-hmm. The podcast that's going to talk about a little bit of this as well. Mm-hmm. And she's getting her degree in pastoral counseling. And what we were talking about in that episode was basically normalizing therapy mm-hmm. in church. It's okay to like normalize that in the church.
It is.
And even having a church that has a therapist, mm-hmm. I think we should, you know, cause I've seen it when I traveled out of, you know, the state of New York mm-hmm. and I went to a few churches. I was like, whoa, you guys have therapists
yeah.
here? Like, this is wild. And it's just like, yeah, this is not something that should be out of the norm.
Right.
Because everyone comes to church.
Exactly. And going to therapy. And
church is literally a hospital.
Right. It is. And going mm-hmm. to therapy does not mean that you don't have faith.
Yes.
My faith yes. is still there. I just need someone that I can talk to help me process these things that I'm feeling or these hurts that I've been through while maintaining my prayer life, while fasting, while yeah. trusting God and working in the ministry. There are things that you just need help to process.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I pray, all right, God isn't physically talking back to me. And Lord, if that day ever comes, help me, Jesus. But having a conversation with someone who's giving you pointers and ideas to help yeah. you to be a better person. It mm-hmm. also helps you become a better Christian.
Right.
Because when I'm healthier and when I can process, I'm better able to help God's people.
Yes, very true. So, my mom always said, like, God can't use a sick saint.
Facts.
And I always try to take that with me.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be like dying of a disease or COVID-19 or anything like that. But you can be sick in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you could be sick. Like a lot of like our Jamaicans or our Caribbeans be like, yeah, he's sick in his head. Like, but you really can. There's people mm-hmm. that are really sick, like in their yeah. mind mm-hmm. and how they think. So God can't operate and use you in a proper way because you're not mm-hmm. properly healed.
Right.
So like, wow, this episode, guys, I really hope that you guys have heard her, like really hear and like listen to what Carrie's saying and just really allow yourself to go through whatever it is you need to go through. And I mean, honestly, I don't know who needs to hear this, but this episode the time recording this, it's like it hasn't, I think it came at such a great time, seriously, because this has been a rough week for me emotionally, and this episode, I think it came at such a perfect time because, you know, you hear other people saying and letting you know that, hey, you're not the only one. You won't be the only one. And I went through it, and guess what? I came out of it.
Yeah.
And if you haven't taken away anything else she said, I'm just letting you know there is life after anything. It doesn't even need to be a divorce, but there's life after any situation that you may have found yourself in, or you probably didn't even put yourself in that situation, but things like life happens. But guess what? You can have a new life. You can have life again. And, you know, life is also what you make it. You can either sit there and you know, this might sound harsh, you know, complain or be the victim.
Yeah,
it may sound harsh. In all actuality, you most likely are the victim. But guess what? Do you want to sit there for the rest of your life and be bitter and be mad and upset? Or do you want to say, you know what? I'm going to make the best out of this. And I'm just glad that you made the best out of this situation and what you went through, allowing yourself to have that time to just to go through it. And going through it doesn't look like a bed of roses.
It is,
you know?
It is all the thorny parts of the roses.
Yes. It's all the thorns. So I'm just so glad and I'm so excited that, you know, again, we spoke about this, and this was, you know, this is not an easy conversation, and just reliving it alone, it's not easy, but I'm glad that you even took the time to agree to do this episode. And I just hope that it reaches, it doesn't have to reach everyone, but just that one person. And I know that it's going to reach that one person.
I really hope so too.
I know so. I know so. And even if it doesn't, it reached me. Okay.
I'm glad. You know what makes the story a little less harder to share? It's that a part of the healing was forgiveness. Like I had to forgive myself. Yeah. And I had to forgive him as well. And I did.
Yeah.
If I didn't forgive him, how am I going to co-parent with this guy? How, not even that, how would I love again? Because that forgiveness part was a release.
Yes.
And you heal and you feel better. And now I can use my story, not from a place of bitterness, because this is not from a place of bitterness.
Yes.
But I can
yes.
share my story to help someone and to show them, like you said, there is life after any type of hurt. You don't have to sit in it. Like when you said the part about even though you can be the victim, but why am I going to sit in it and victimize myself again? So
yes,
just you know, forgive, stop being the victim, heal, and move on. Just
yes,
keep it moving.
Yes. Sorry. You guys, I don't know what else to say. And I feel like I'm saying this in almost every episode, but you guys are like seriously like sharing some like gems and just dropping like amazing just words. And just for I think that is also helping, helping me, because again, you know, this is for all of the young adults that are trying to navigate, because it's one of the most like difficult times like in your life. And I saw something that said 25 to 30 is one of the most crucial times in your life.
It is.
And because you're trying to like, okay, sometimes you're trying to right your wrongs, or you're trying to, you know, be in a better position financially, and you're trying to make sure everything is right, career, everything. And sometimes we forget about, hey, we're still human. You know, there's still some things there that we left from 6-7 years ago that we haven't addressed. So again, I'm just glad that, you know, you came on. You guys, I shared my sister with you. And I would even go as far to say, if anyone has any questions or you want to learn how to get out of a situation or whatever it may be, I would even say y'all can DM her.
That's fine.
if you need to.
That is fine.
Because I have had to text Carrie, you know, for some stuff. And she has responded to me. So, and one thing I would say about you, I don't say this about a lot of pastors' wives, because she's a pastor's wife as well, you guys. I don't say this about a lot of pastors' wives, but she is one of those pastors' wives that will be so real and down to earth with you to the point where you almost forget that she's a pastor's wife. But, you know, she's one of the most, like, or I'll just say it, you're one of the most understanding people that I have met, especially, you know, growing up in the church that, you know, we come mm-hmm. from. It's not a lot of times you would see, you know, some of the older women, the more mature women, mm-hmm. the married women take the younger girls aside and say, hey sis, you good? Like,
yeah.
You're not even trying to reprimand, like, oh, your skirt too short. No, like, you built a relationship yeah. with some of us that are, you know, younger girls. And so I'm just, you guys, if you have any questions, you guys can DM her. Carrie, could you tell us your social media names?
On Instagram, it's yes. Empress914. They can find okay. me on your page.
Yes, you can also find her on my page, because I will be reposting it, and I'm also going to tag her. Mm-hmm. So, and if you guys are, you know, on Facebook, her Facebook name, what's your Facebook name?
Carrie Ann Wilby Reeves.
Yes. So those are her social media handles, you guys. Like I said, I will be tagging her when this episode is out. You guys, I'm so grateful for you all listening and for being a part of it. Carrie, again, I thank you. I pray that this helps someone. I pray that you guys find any healing, you know, that you can from this episode. If it's even one thing that Carrie has said or that I have said, I just hope that you guys find healing and that you prosper and you flourish from this. So you guys, thank you for listening. Carrie, thank you again for being a part.
Thanks for having
me.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. And this is Adultish. I'll see you guys next time. Pressure, 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 pressure. Let's go. The pressure, diamonds don't shine without the guts and pressure. Make me all the pressure.